you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Everybody loves a good story, don't they? Oftentimes, when I go to camp, I tell quite a few stories. When I'm talking to the kids, one of the favorites is the story that I tell. I'll just give you a Cliff Notes version of the story, but basically, I think I've shared this story with you a long time ago. Is when my brother and I were fighting. It was a long, drawn out, prolonged kind of battle. It's a big plant. It was a battle that raged on for weeks until my mother had quite enough and sent us to the woodshed. Literally, she sent us to the woodshed to paint it, and we continued to bicker out there as we painted the woodshed until I was standing. I was in a vulnerable position. I'm just going to say this: I was standing up on a ladder, and I was painting the rafters of the woodshed. And my brother came up behind me and pulled my pants down and took a paintbrush and painted my backside with brown paint, as it were. I'm sure they had latex paint back then, but this was oil-based paint. So it wasn't coming off with no water. So anyway, long story short, I had to stand and I had to go tell my father that I had brown paint all over my backside. Then I had to have my father wash my backside with gasoline to get all the brown paint off. And then, just to top it all off, and this is just recognition that we know that God has a sense of humor, is because it was Wednesday, which is also garbage collection day, and as my dad was washing my backside with gasoline, I hear this beep, 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 and the garbage truck comes along, and the look on that guy's face was quite priceless. Anyway, it's a good story, and I tell you that story because I think that good stories are precious. And there are things to remember. And whenever we read a good story, or we're told a good story, or we watch a good story on the television, or whatever it is, when we see a good story, we recognize it because we can almost put ourselves into that story. We identify with the protagonist, or we identify with a character within the story. And stories are things that stick with us. They're things that oftentimes have timeless lessons. And often we can certainly come to church and we can hear a whole bunch of information. We can go to school and we can hear all sorts of information. And a lot of those things that we hear kind of go in one ear and out the other. But what sticks with us are the stories. And that's why telling stories, telling our story or telling stories, it's a way to help us to grab onto the information that we need to grab onto. It's a way for us to relate, because stories are things that we can remember easier than we can information. The reason I talk about stories is because Jesus was a good storyteller. And he told stories often. He used, his favorite form of telling stories was parables. He had these parables were these imaginary stories that had real life lessons. We know the parable of the soil, the parable of the rich man, the parable of the prodigal son. I want this morning, just for a couple of minutes, to talk about the parable of the two builders. And it comes to us right at the very end of Matthew chapter 7. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 7? Because it's interesting, in Matthew chapter 7, right at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has just given this masterful theological, doctrinal dissertation on how to live. And he ends his teaching to those people that were sitting there listening to him. He ends it with a story. And in verse 24 of chapter 7, he starts this way. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You know, any preacher worth his salt will tell you that sermons that stick with people are the ones that include a story or two to drive the point home. So it should be really no surprise that that's the way Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. The greatest sermon ever preached, he ends it with this little story. Do you think it worked? I mean, look at the end. Look at verse 28. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. I like to think that that story was part of what made the Sermon on the Mount so good. The way to make it, you know, just to really drive the point home. And so let's just look at it just for a couple of minutes. And first, I think we need to just identify. We need to identify what's the same in this little story, because there are some similarities. I mean, first of all, we know that there are two builders, right? We know that there are two guys, and they're both building a house. Remember that this is an imaginary story, so Jesus isn't using houses and sand and rock in a literal way. This is a figurative sense. He's talking here about building a philosophy of life. He's talking about establishing values. He's talking about making decisions that relate to your life in general. So we have two builders. That's one similarity in the story. The other similarity, I would say, would be the life situation of the builder. Because not only are they building a house, but they also both face a storm. They face wind and rain and floods. But Jesus isn't telling us how to stormproof our homes here. What he's trying to do is to tell us how to stormproof our lives. He's giving us the blueprints for building lives that can withstand the calamities that are looming on the horizon. The things that we face, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes every now and again, whatever it is, we have all faced hard times in our life. And this story is about that. Jesus is saying, you need to build your house on a solid foundation. You need to build your life on something solid. So that's the similarities, but there's also some differences in this story, right? And I want you to notice those as well, because both these builders, they're doing the same work, and maybe even they're building the same kind of house. But there are some differences as well, because the first builder
Right in verse 24, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the first difference in the story is that the first builder, the wise one, hears the words and acts on them. That's what verse 24 says. It says that he hears and then he acts on the words of Jesus. But the second guy in the story, the second builder, is the one who hears the same words that the first one heard, but he does not act on them. And if we had seen these two buildings going up at the same time, we would have thought, well, these two buildings, maybe they were very similar, maybe they were identical. But the difference is that the storm revealed was, the test of the storm was what revealed their difference. And here's what I want you to understand. What's really important in life is not what you hear. It's what you do with what you hear. It's really important. The really important things in life is not what we hear, it's what we do with what we hear. The second difference in the story, the contrast in the story, is the outcome of the two houses. Because when the rains came and the winds came up and it started to flood, the one house stood firm because it was built on the rock. And then the other house that was built on the sand fell down. And not only did it fall, it fell tremendously. It says, and great was its fall. Consequently, the first builder was labeled wise, and the second builder was labeled foolish. It takes no genius to realize that the rock-like foundation that Jesus is talking about was himself. Was the word of God. The builder had turned to Jesus in simple faith and actively built his life on Jesus' sure and eternal principles, the things that he had just talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. And the foolish man, in contrast, heard the words that Jesus spoke but disregarded them and chose to build his life on the things that the world has to offer. You know, there's two kind of underlying principles in this story that I think we need to identify. The first one is this. If you're only hearing the truth, you're not prepared for life storms. If you are only hearing the truth, you're not prepared for life storms. It's a start, yes, but that can't be where it stops. You can listen. What I mean is, if you are sitting in your house and you turn on the radio or you turn on the television and it says, hey everybody, there is a tornado coming, and then you switch off the television or the radio, and you sit back down on the couch, and you go, tornado. You need to do something with that information, right? Unless you get up off the couch and you do something with the information that you get, you are going to get swept away. You're going to get blown away. So if you are only hearing the truth, you are not prepared, because it's not just about hearing, it's about acting, right? The second underlying principle in this story is, if your foundation is solid, if it's sure, there is no storm that will ever cause your life to collapse. And oh, there's some big storms, aren't there? No matter how severe the storm is, you can weather it if you've built your life on a firm foundation. Whether the storm is a tragic accident, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a financial crisis, whether it's being attacked by the enemy, you can make it through. When rain stops and the sun parts the clouds, you're going to be still standing. I shared in the morning service about, Rob and Wendy shared last Sunday about when their son Stephen died. That was a big storm. And I've always been amazed at how it didn't drive a wedge between them, but it actually drove them closer together. And Rob would say, if you asked him outright, he would say it drove him closer to the Lord as well. And I think of others who have experienced losses, severe storms like that. Bernie and you lost a son yourself. And we have all saw that, the way that drove you closer together and drove you closer as a family. That was a big storm. I was always amazed when I went and visited George and Cheryl in the hospital, how together they were as they dealt with Lacey's illness. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying they're through their storm either, or anyone is. But we all have a choice. And it's all about where we're building. It's all about where we're building. Where is your foundation? Because there will be storms. There will be some storms that we will have to deal with. And what is that storm going to do to your life? Is it going to wash you away? Or are you going to still stand? The greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached has not been preserved simply because it's, you know, a literary masterpiece. You know why it's preserved the test of time? It's because it's life-changing. It's because it's meant, Jesus said those words and finished them off with the story. He was saying, essentially, I haven't just spoken all these words for you just to forget them. I want you to act on these words. We are to step into it. We are to make the truths that Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount our own. And in doing so, that we are to discover the, what one commentator said this, to discover the secret of an unsinkable life. Do you know what the secret to an unsinkable life is? Building your house upon the rock of the Lord Jesus. It's building on the right foundation. I shared last week, a couple weeks ago, about how we have this hole inside of us. Each and every one of us, as human beings, we have this hole. And every human being has it. And there are so many people out there that are filling that hole inside of them with drugs or alcohol or pornography or a marriage, a relationship here, or a relationship there, or whatever it is. They're filling it with whatever the world has to offer, and they're trying to satisfy. They're trying to make sure that hole is filled for good. But what maybe those people don't understand is that hole
can only be filled by a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a God-shaped hole. And God is the only one who can fill or satisfy you. And it comes down to just asking yourself, where are you building? What are you building on? So as we close today, I want you to ask yourself a couple of really soul-searching questions. And the question isn't, am I building? The question isn't, will a storm hit? Because the answer to that, those two questions is yes. You are building. And there will be some storms. Oh, yes, absolutely. But you need to ask these two questions. And I'm going to leave them with you today. First, is the foundation that you are laying absolutely solid? Just take a good look. You don't need to be an expert. Just take a good look. And don't look at the self-help books or whatever, but look into the Word. Look at your life. Look at what you're doing with what you're hearing. Because you can be here every Sunday. That's awesome. I want you to come. But what are you doing with what the Holy Spirit is telling you when you are here? When you're reading the Word? When you're spending time? What are you doing with that? Because it's not enough to hear it. Is the foundation you're laying absolutely solid? Here's the second thing. Is the house that you are building, and you are building a house, is the life, the house you are building, eternally reliable? When life storms come, are they going to wash that house away? Can you say with confidence that there is nothing that will make that house collapse? Are you laying a foundation that will allow you to ride out any storm, no matter how torrential the rains are? So my prayer is that you will not only lay the right foundation, but you'll also continue to build a life that displays all the righteous features that Jesus shared and carefully blueprinted in his Sermon on the Mount. It's up to you to hear, so you have done that. That's only half the battle. Now it's time to act, to do. That's what living a life of simple faith is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here this morning, and I thank you for the time that we have spent. I thank you for all the things that have done and that we have done this morning, and the commitments that people have made. And I just thank you for the children, Father. I thank you for Mike and Nicolette and Logan and Alicia, Brenton and Jody, for their commitment to you and to their children. I thank you for Jody just taking that step into transferring her membership over. And Father, I pray that we would exhort her, that we would sharpen her, that we would encourage her. Father, I'm so thankful for Pete and Verna and Marvin and Brenda. Thank you for their willingness to serve this vital role in our church. Thank you for Henry and Susan and Bernie and Edna too, for their commitment. And God, thank you for Don and Colleen, for the time that they spent. God, we honor you this morning. We give you the glory. And I pray that that you would help us to be courageous as we build our house on the rock, on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.